This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And I love Tuesday's Real Estate Insights with one and only Amy McLeod and Elizabeth Smith. Ladies, welcome to the show. It's always good to have you. And I love our little pre-show chat because, I mean, I'm like all amped up and ready to go now.
We're glad to be here.
I think Denise is ready to make a purchase at this point. She's that excited.
Right. Just put a house in front of me. I'm going to buy it. Oh, my gosh. So once again, yes, it is Real Estate Insights with Amy McLeod from the McLeod Group, Keller Williams, and Elizabeth Smith from the Elizabeth Smith team, powered by
Success Mortgage Partners.
Success Mortgages. Okay, I should know that. Anyway, okay. It is so great to see you both. I always love it when you're in the studio. We learn so much from you. So let's go ahead and just jump right in, Amy. Let's go ahead and, well, let's start with you. Normally, we kind of get a rundown on what's changed since the last time we saw you.
Well, I've got Elizabeth here today, and our topic is the silver tsunami.
And you're talking precious metals, silver, or silver as in
grand? I wish you and I could make a mint. So it was a phrase that I heard just a couple of weeks ago, and it sounds dramatic, but in real estate, it's very real, and it's happening right now. And the silver tsunami refers to the massive wave of baby boomers, people who are 60, 70, and, you know, to their late 70s, very, very early 80s, who are reaching a stage in life where housing decisions are starting to matter more than ever. And here's the important part. This isn't about being pushed out of one's home. It's about choice. Uh-huh. So, you know, we are the generation that said, don't trust anyone over 30. And I don't know what we did when we turned 30, but we still don't trust them. So for decades, seniors were told that there's only two options, stay put forever or move into something you really didn't want to. And that's no longer true. Mm-hmm. So what's actually driving this is that many seniors are sitting on incredibly valuable home equity, which Elizabeth's going to talk about. Uh-huh. And homes purchased decades ago for a fraction of today's prices, well, they've quietly become one of the largest assets many retirees own. And that equity creates options like paying cash for a smaller home, moving closer to family, eliminating stairs, or even freeing up money for travel, healthcare, or just peace of mind. So here's what I see every week. People like me waiting too long to just explore their options. They mm-hmm. say, I'm fine, and they are until something changes, like a knee surgery, a spouse's health, driving becomes harder, or simply realizing that maintaining a large home is starting to feel like a second job. Mm-hmm. So the smartest moves I see are the seniors who aren't rushed, they're planned. And that's the heart of the silver tsunami, is proactive decisions instead of reactive ones. Nobody wants to admit that our life choices are becoming smaller. Our world is becoming smaller. But it really helps if you can face that, and so that when the time actually comes that you're ready to go. So another big misconception is that moving means downsizing your life. And in reality, seniors are right-sizing. They're choosing houses that are on one level. They've got walk-in showers instead of tubs. They're closer to doctors, shopping, and family, or they offer a lock-and-leave lifestyle with less maintenance. So I hope the ears of our remodeling contractors perked up. And here's something interesting. Many seniors aren't moving far away at all. They're often staying in the same community they love, just in a home that loves them back. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about timing, because this is what's important. The silver tsunami, and I'm going to talk more about this later today, is colliding okay. with another reality called housing inventory. When seniors move thoughtfully, they're often selling homes that families are desperately looking for. The two-story larger home in established neighborhoods with good schools. But that means that senior sellers today are often in a strong position, but only if they understand the market and their true net options. Mm-hmm. This is where a lot of my seniors make costly mistakes. Number one, they underestimate repair costs and what it takes to actually repair a house. They overestimate what fixing it up really takes. You know, I did, you know, you've all heard that.
And that's the voice, too.
That's the voice. Or they didn't realize how many alternatives exist beyond a traditional sale. Mm. So a good plan at this point in life answers questions like, should I sell now or wait? Should I rent instead of buying? Sometimes that makes more sense to rent. And should I buy first or sell first? Because it can be very stressful, especially when you're older and you've got a lot of things to clean out. I know my husband and I are looking forward to a move, and we're in this category. And I said to him, you know, every other move he's told me, oh, I'll say, we need to clean out this. Oh, that'll take half an hour. And I said,
oh,
yeah. Yeah. I said, okay, listen. I said, listen, buddy, if you want to move, I said, this is does no longer takes half an hour. Okay.
And we're not of the rent a pickup and get some pizza in a six pack
exactly.
group anymore.
Yeah. I said, I want to do this a little piece at a time.
Yeah.
So these aren't just real estate questions, they're life planning questions. And that's why the Silver Tsunami matters so much. It's really about now intentional living. So if you're a listener and you're a senior or you love someone who is, this is my advice. Don't wait for a crisis to start the conversation. You don't need to move. You don't need to sell. You don't need to do anything right now, but you do deserve to know your options. Because the people who thrive through the Silver Tsunami aren't the ones who react. They're the ones who plan ahead, stay informed, and make decisions on their own terms. That's the biggest deal. When I was dealing with my elderly aunt, I said, we can either talk about this now, or you can have that daughter-in-law that you're not so impressed with come in and do the massive wipeout of all the things that matter to you. So that more than anything is what real estate should give you, is choices, confidence, and control. And so, of course, if you have folks that are wondering what the, you know, they just want to brainstorm, what does my next chapter look like? I love to sit down and do that with people. It's like, let's talk about what you may try to accomplish. And I always promise people, I don't have handcuffs and I don't twist arms. Yeah. Let's just have a conversation about what's the perfect time, and let's explore that right now.
Why do you think people are so hesitant to kind of talk about it? It's kind of like will planning. Well, if I make a will or I do a trust, it's admitting I'm going to die. Well, yeah. But I mean, and so many people are so, my own dad was that way. He wouldn't talk about it until after he passed. It was an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to wait until a hip is broken or, you know, someone has fallen or something like that, where then you're in sort of a panic mode when you're trying to make decisions that you could have sort of had a long runway towards them.
Yeah. Well, you know, being at this age, Denise, I mean, I'm looking at my house thinking about a move. I'm thinking about it two, three years down the road, maybe four. And I'm already feeling somewhat overwhelmed. It's overwhelming to think about, what do I do with all these things? And of course, we learned the last time we made a big move was our kids don't really want our stuff. But you're looking at photographs of great grandma and all those people that keeping the ashes. Like, what do you do with all that stuff? You know, it's all this sentimental stuff. Well, it's sentimental to you. So I think it's really hard as you start to think about what has to happen here. And I think I've said to my husband many times, we've moved like 10 times. And I said to him, you know, this is probably our last move. And so coming to terms with I heard somebody say, I'm in the last quarter of my last quarter. And it's just really hard to embrace that and admit that your life is getting smaller.
You're on the downside.
You're on the downside. It's very hard. But what's worse, and really that picture for my aunt was that person who comes in and doesn't give a rip about your stuff, but they're in charge. You know, they're usually the person in charge. And you're sitting in your wheelchair or your rocking chair, and there they are, like, just going through your stuff.
Yeah.
And that's harder.
It is harder. And I know, again, from personal experience, that happened. And it was basically a garage sale, fire sale, and just get rid of it all. And I get it. I don't. It's like that cartoon where it's like the garage opens up. Someday, son, this will all be yours. And he's like, oh, God, no, God, no.
Yes.
And I get that. Stuff gives me agita. Too much clutter, too much stuff. So I get that, where your kids don't want it. When my dad passed, they're like, we have all this red Cape Cod glass. I'm like, that's nice. I don't want it. What am I going to do with Cape Cod glass?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of that stuff. So, and I learned that hard lesson that way. And I think probably a lot of people have that experience personally, where you did have a hard lesson with somebody and you never want to do that again. So, but then the living, I know my mom lives in a three-story house right now. That's hard. Yes. And I know that there's conversations starting to be had on that. So
You're not just leaving a house, you're leaving all your memories. There was a gentleman here in the area. He was downsizing, going to assisted living. He and his wife had collected beautiful, beautiful Waterford crystal pieces.
Oh my gosh.
For their entire 60 years of married life. And he was trying desperately to try and get it to, you know, house it, to sell it. And interestingly enough, there was only one auctioneer in Kansas who was even interested at all to have a conversation. And in the end, they, you know, it was like all of it was worth like $5,000 because he had to fly out and get it, take it to Kansas. Yeah. And you just look at that and you go, I don't know. It was really, and you know, his kids, I mean, there were just massive amounts of pieces. So I'm sure they got the pieces that they wanted.
And you would think growing up, there are certain brand names that you think sort of Tiffany's and Waterford and mm-hmm. these different brand names that automatically have sort of a certain wealth and cachet attached to them. That had to have been just devastating because you spend your whole life accumulating and it's like, might as well be a beanie baby.
And we don't live like that anymore. We don't live formal, you know, like that anymore. And, you know, pieces of, China. I mean, my own china is in a box somewhere. It's like,
I actually took mine to the dump. Nobody wanted it, so I threw it away. Yeah, it was Mikasa from 1985.
Okay, okay.
We're
good. Okay.
We're fine.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's hard, wouldn't you?
It is, I know. And it's hard to have those conversations. And I could see really kind of the heartbreak in the eyes of your parents or your grandparents who are like, mm-hmm. but this means so much to me and it doesn't, like, it's very hard. It's really, really hard. I get that. All right, let's come back and then let's talk a little bit. We'll come back and talk with Elizabeth about interest rates and then talking about, all the wealth and everything in the mortgages. And this is something I want to talk about because I hear about this a lot, Elizabeth, reverse mortgages. Mm-hmm. Want to learn more about that. So again, we're talking with Amy McLeod and Elizabeth Smith. It's Real Estate Insights Tuesday. It's also Ammo Day. Because it is Lucky Number Tuesday at Bi-Mark.
Right. Well, we'll get to that one when we come back from the break.
We will. I just had to tease that out there because our good friend Andrew reminded me. So, all right, you're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Bi-Mart, where it's Lucky Number Tuesday.
Get your ammo. Thank you, Andrew, for the reminder. How could I forget?
Well, and if you get a lucky number, then it just doubles it up. All the goodness in one place.
All the goodness in one place. Okay, we are continuing our Real Estate Insights with Amy and Elizabeth. So, Elizabeth, I've seen the ads. Tom Selleck, who, oh my gosh, he says they're good things, right? It's like, oh, Tom Selleck, Magnum PI. I know I'm dating myself. But we hear about that. We hear about reverse mortgages. And then, of course, the current interest rates. They're staying kind of steady, though, right now, aren't they?
Yeah, there was a report that came out this morning. The retail sales, it was delayed because of the government shutdown, but it came out and it was weaker than expected from, like, November. So those that had an impact. The markets had a couple impacts recently that have been beneficial. So the rates have kind of actually were at two-week lows. Than where we were. So that's kind of a nice change. It's still hanging around that 6% mark. Yeah. And it's still a great time to do something with your house, your equity, or buying something.
Yeah, and if you bought a few months ago, I mean, we know we've talked many, many mortgage mm-hmm. places will offer that one-time refi. You just have to pay the fees on it if it drops down. But it doesn't sound like it's dropped down enough to really worry about it right now.
You know, it depends on when you bought. I was just doing a refinance for someone that bought 2 years ago when we kept telling everybody you should buy. And she's at 7.375 and I'm putting her at 5.625.
Sweet.
And I think our value assessment was that she's gained about $20,000+ in equity just based on what she bought. But more so and more interesting is that when she bought that property, so now the value is higher, but when she bought that property, she got the seller to pay $20,000 in closing costs. I definitely feel like that's a win-win for that client, and that's why you take advice from your trusted realtor who's saying you should buy. There's a reason we say that.
I think that's me, right, Elizabeth?
It is, yeah.
I was going to say, the way you guys are looking at each other, I'm assuming Amy
I'm giving her the eyes.
The good job eyes.
It's like, it mathematically equated very nicely.
Very nice. Very
so, yeah, reverse mortgages.
Play. So, yeah, so I hear about that, and a lot of people are like, oh, my gosh, stay away. But then you see, you know, Tom Selleck is saying to do it. So should we listen to Tom, to Magnum?
It always is interesting to me because it's like they have really corny advertising. And like he's great, but I'm not saying he's corny. But when I watch him, I'm like, I don't really think that it's highlighting what it is or what it does.
Mm-hmm. Because I honestly, to be honest with you, don't really understand what it is.
Right. So
I mean, I kind of have an idea what I think it is based on what it's called. But
right. Well, it's a financial tool. And I think that it got a bad name back in the day. But there has been some major changes since 2015 that I thought I'd highlight some of those changes today. Just so people are not afraid of it. It is actually part of a retirement planning process for a lot of people because you spend 30 years paying off your house, right?
Right.
And
right.
then what? Now you got all that money tied up in your house. If you take an equity loan or you take a mortgage, you're going to have a payment again.
Right.
So that's great that you don't have a mortgage payment. But for example, I'm a big fan of reverse mortgages. I actually got my mom into one. And I think that examples make a much more higher impact for people than just spouting off stuff. So I'll kind of tell you a little story on my mom.
Okay.
When my dad passed away in 2011, a lot of people, you know, you get Social Security for each person. But upon the passing of one of the spouses, the one goes away. And so a lot of times what we see is retirement income that you thought you're going to have may have gone away. And in that case, she was suddenly now where she still had a mortgage because there was something that had come up that they needed to take out a $50,000 mortgage to. Oh. I can't remember if it was the roof or something to that effect. Well, now she's got this mortgage payment and it's cutting into her retirement, like that, her Social Security. So now she's kind of in this pinched position where it's like, where do I cut? And at that point in your life, you really shouldn't be cutting. But she has hundreds of thousands of dollars in equity in this house.
Yeah.
So I talked with my siblings and stuff. I'm the youngest of the sisters. And I'm like, let's get her in a reverse mortgage. And after some pushback from my siblings and stuff, they finally researched it and realized that was actually a really great thing to do. What it did was the reverse mortgage pays off your existing mortgage and you no longer have a mortgage. And then the interest is added to the balance of the loan over time. Now, this is a very interesting concept, but here, let me make sure everyone understands. It's a non-recourse loan. So a non-recourse loan means that no matter what happens, like if you pass, everything's based on your life expectancy. It's almost like a life insurance policy in a way. So if she's in her 80s and they expect her to live till 90, they figure out the equity, they figure out how much money is available, and then how much she can add to it. And not only does the interest go on there, but they can also have an income stream. They can set it up to take a monthly payment off of it. They can have a line of credit that if there's an emergency, they can, you know, pull money off of it. So it's not like it's going to be 100% financing by the time it's all said and done. You can't do that. But what it is it's a tool by which you can access all that money that's tied up in your house without having to sell it and move into a rental. And that's truly, I mean, and even in that case, you're right back where you began, right? You're still making a payment of some sort. But if something was to happen to you, if my mom passes away, when she does, let's just say she like lives to 100, because I can just see her spicy enough to do that. and she lives to be 100. And all of a sudden, there's more owed on the house than what it's worth. It is non-recourse, meaning the bank can't come back and get us. We have the opportunity to purchase it at 95% of the appraised value, or just give it back to the bank or whatever. And so there's a lot of tools and things that have been updated on this. And it's become a retirement planning item. And one of the cool things is the income from a reverse mortgage, if you actually start to draw equity out of it, it is not considered income. So that's it can be very, you can start to see how that could piece in to an overall plan to A, stay in your home.
Yep.
And you can also use them to buy a home, interestingly enough. Hmm. Yeah, reverse purchase. And so they're a really unique tool, but they have been completely revamped since 2015. So my recommendation is to research it. Don't just turn a blind eye or get into that mode of like, nope, that's not a good thing. It's actually a very good thing for a lot of families.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know a lot of that. And then again, I don't know why there is sort of this push out there that it's negative. Like the second you bring it up, everyone bristles at you. And
it's the saving grace for several people right now. I've probably got three clients that are doing them. They're going in. You have to go through a counseling. You have to go through HUD counseling. You have to do all these steps. And it takes time. But the thing that breaks my heart is that I usually get the phone call when it should have been made to me 3-6 months ago, or I could have started it. Now we're in a big rush and a panic because I really can't keep the electricity on in my house, or I'm not actually buying groceries. And we don't want that for people. I would, you know, conversations don't cost anything.
Yeah.
So I'd rather do it now. You know, we do have a specific reverse mortgage department at SMP, and we've got some resources that we can send out. And it's just, it's something that I would encourage people to just look into as a financial tool in the long run, instead of just poo-pooing it and being like, oh, yeah, no, that was the one of the 80s that took my house. And then, you know, that was the theme. But it got completely redone.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting. I learned a lot because when I saw this on our show prep today, I was very interested in that because, again, there's a lot of misconception. So even just like a quick, ChatGPT, Google, whatever, just kind of go out there and see what's out there.
Yeah.
You're going to get a lot of sponsored things that are probably going to, I mean, how do you kind of filter through the noise? Because a lot of the noise is saying, don't touch this with a 10-foot pole.
I'd look up Success Mortgage Partners reverse mortgage department. Just Google it. And then in there, you're not going to get bombarded with that, but it's going to have some like 10-second or, you know, like 1-minute videos, and it has all the questions, and it has resources in there linked to all of the national entities that support these and say, hey, you know, this is the educational piece. Tons of information on there. And then you can, you know, book a call with somebody if you want to explore what that looks like. Or you can call me and I'll hook you up with the right person.
Okay. Wow. Really, really good information. Okay. We are coming up on the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a break for the news. Again, we're talking with Amy McLeod and Elizabeth Smith. It is Real Estate Insights Tuesday. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Okay, real quick, while you're mentioning GA at Home, we want to again mention we are in the thick of our fifth annual food and clothing drive. GA at Home being our presenting sponsor.
That's right. Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning is the title sponsor. Like we said, these guys have been out at those locations and are coming back with full bins already. So get out and make those donations. Be Bold Street Ministries is the recipients of all the goodies that get donated. So go on out and do your part.
And if you want to learn more about our sponsors this week, we're highlighting Elite Buyers Northwest, who is one of our sponsors. And so we've got some good information. They get wicked cool stuff over there.
Oh, yeah. Those pawn shops, they are some of the treasure troves where you might find some of those dearly departed, you know, Chinas and things like that, right?
Cape Cod glass. I bet they have Cape Cod glass. But I also bet you they have some silverware in a dip right now because it exploded and then it dipped.
Well, that's
so buy in the dip, buy in the dip.
That's right. Get the silver tsunami.
See, that's where I thought you were going, Amy, with like, oh, we're going to talk about precious metals. Okay.
I thought you were saying something about my hair because I've seen some pictures of me recently and it's getting more and more silver and I'm not a big fan.
You're silver. You get some silver going on. See, somehow in men, it's like, it's distinguished and it's salt and pepper gray. Yeah.
If only I felt that way.
Oh, brother.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we're continuing our conversation again with Amy McLeod and Elizabeth Smith. Fascinating information, great information. I'm taking notes. But we're talking kind of seniors and things like that. So what happens? Real estate is exploding. I mean, obviously the rates, values go up, the cost goes up. At what point do sort of seniors, if you're on a fixed income, do you become priced out?
Well, I think we're there. For a lot of folks. Over the last 7 years, property tax bills in Marion County and frankly across Oregon, we all know have risen sharply. And it's kind of like boiling frogs. You know, you start with cold water. Yeah. While Oregon is often described as having limits on property taxes, many seniors on fixed incomes are figuring out that those limits don't stop their bills from going up year after year. Mm. We all should be looking at this. So in Marion County, the total amount of property taxes billed has increased by well over 40% since 2017.
What? And, wow.
And statewide, Oregon's total property tax collections have grown at a similar pace. So for many homeowners, and especially seniors who've lived in their homes for decades, that increase feels relentless because, frankly, it is. And I say this every time I hear one of these do-good organizations saying, it's only $300.
It's just the cost of a latte.
Yes. Well, Oregon law allows the assessed value of a home to increase by up to 3% a year. That's reasonable. That alone compounds quickly, but that's only part of this story. Because on top of that, voter-approved school bonds, fire district levies, public safety measures, local option taxes, the Chariots bus who, you know, think it's only. These don't always show up as dramatic changes from one year to the next, but over time, obviously, they're stacking up. And a new bond here, a renewed levy there, and suddenly a senior homeowner is paying hundreds or even thousands more per year than they were a decade ago. So while Oregon's Measure 5 limits certain taxes, it does not prevent taxes from increasing, and it doesn't shield homeowners at all from new bonds or fees that are layered onto the bill.
Fees.
So get out and vote.
Yes.
Those, and read past the title, because it's always the opposite of what it really is. So for seniors So for our seniors living on fixed incomes, the problem isn't just higher taxes. It's that income doesn't rise at the same pace. You know, the increase is usually 3 or 4% on Social Security. Well, just the base tax amount can go up that much. So this is where the real pressure comes in. A senior might have that paid off mortgage from years ago, believing their house costs would stabilize. Instead, they now face rising property taxes. Here's the other piece. Because our housing went up so rapidly in the unicorn years, now we have increasing homeowners insurance, especially in wildfire risk areas, higher water, sewer, stormwater fees, and coming down the pike, everybody, higher electricity bills. Did you know by 2040, they're supposed to be quadruple?
Oh my gosh.
So, okay, so that's for all those nice, sound nice programs. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the last one often surprises people, but start looking at your electric bill now. Oregon passed legislation requiring utilities to move towards 100% clean electricity by 2040. Whether you support the policy or not, the reality is that utility companies are making major infrastructure changes right now. And on top of that, utilities cite wildfire mitigation costs and power market volatility as rates rate increase reasons. So the result is that seniors are opening up their bills, and they're dramatically higher than they were just a few years ago, even without using more electricity. I hear a lot of seniors sitting at 62 degrees in the winter. So when you add it all up, seniors become what's often called house rich, cash poor. They have equity, but not enough monthly income to afford staying in their home. And so that's where that reverse mortgage comes in.
Yeah.
So what if they can't afford to pay property tax bills anymore? The most important thing to know is ignoring the bill is the worst option. We need to plan. Penalties and interest add up, and eventually the county can foreclose on your property for property taxes. There is one critical option that Oregon offers seniors that they don't learn about usually till they're already in trouble, and that's the Senior Property Tax Deferral Program. And that program allows seniors, qualifying seniors, to defer, not forgive, so your heirs will pay it, but defer the property taxes. The state of Oregon pays the county on the homeowner's behalf, and then the taxes are repaid, typically when the home is sold or transferred. So interest does accrue at simple interest rate, and the state places a lien. That means it's not free money, but it is. It could be the difference between staying in your home or being forced out. And it's especially helpful for those seniors that want to age in place. Another key step is to talk to the county tax collector early. Counties can usually waive taxes, but they can They can't usually waive taxes, but they can explain payment timing. You know, we can do three payments here in Marion County, and exactly what's going to happen if a deadline's missed. Seniors should also carefully review their statements. Many people assume an increase came from the county or the assessor, when in fact it's a new bond or levy. You know, they levy it, and then it's months later before you see it on your bill. Understand what changed helps homeowners make informed decisions about budgeting, deferral, long-term housing plans, how you vote. And finally, it's important to look at the whole picture, not just property taxes. So for seniors, it's the combination of taxes, utilities, insurance, maintenance that makes staying put impossible, but not any one bill by itself causes that. So this is becoming one of the most significant housing challenges facing Oregon seniors today. And the takeaway is that rising property taxes and hidden housing costs are quietly pushing our seniors toward impossible choices. But options do exist if you step up before the situation becomes a crisis. And so if we want our seniors to remain stable in their homes and communities they built, these conversations need to happen now, open, clearly, and without stigma. It was shocking to me. I was talking to the director of Samanca Place, which is the Union Gospel Mission's arm for women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she told me the largest population presenting themselves at Samanca Place is now senior women who, like Elizabeth talked about, have lost their husband, have lost pensions and Social Security, and can no longer afford to live on their own. And so these are not people that are drug affected or alcohol affected. These are just our neighbors. And we really need to be looking at our budgets, asking our community leaders to start looking for ways to cut instead of just constantly going to the tax trough, because we're making Oregon unaffordable and it's not all about housing prices.
Right. And frankly, a lot of the people who, because it always falls on the burden of property owners, whether that's your landlord, if you're a tenant, because you're paying it too via the landlord, and it's also property owners. And the way they, it's always a very emotional push, and the, you know, and the it's just the cost of a latte, which I'm so tired of hearing, you know, and or it's just this little bit, but you really, it adds up. And like you're talking about seniors, and to see that Samanca Place is seeing more older women coming in there, that's very disturbing to hear that.
Yeah, it's very, I mean, because we're investing money, you know, we pick all these projects that are in our face.
Yeah.
And yet we have very limited housing for seniors in need. You know.
And honestly, with the prop, I see a lot of pushes, you know, get rid of property taxes after 65, because we you truly never really own your home.
Right.
That's correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which.
So, yeah, it's sad. Yeah. Yeah. We got, we need to be looking at, you know, how we're impacting people. So
and one of the things I want to also address is sometimes people have already gotten into a pinch and they're worried that their credit isn't going to qualify them. Maybe they have debt, maybe whatever that looks like. So sometimes that's another thing that stops people from calling in and inquiring on the reverse mortgage. And there's, you know, if you have gotten into a pinch with your property taxes, things, they can actually budget what they consider called a set aside into the proceeds of it, which is, we're going to collect your taxes and insurance for you, so that you know you may not walk away with a bunch of cash out of it, but if it eliminates your mortgage and then it builds in the taxes and insurance for your life expectancy, that could work. So sometimes, you know, if you're like stressed out because you're starting to get close to falling behind on bills, don't panic. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're in this horrible situation. Yeah, they're going to pull credit because they have to as a lender. You have to make sure you're doing the due diligence that this individual can maintain the home and maintain the taxes and insurance. But there is a way around it, which is with that set aside and basically kind of forced escrows in a way with taxes and insurance. But, you know, again, like don't, my biggest plead would be don't go out there and not do anything, because sometimes we just get to a point where we're so freaked out in our own situation. I've had those conversations, those very heartfelt conversations that take a little bit of time on the phone with a senior when they finally are like, look, I can't afford my medication. I can't afford this. I can't afford that. I mean, my electricity is going to get shut off and the garbage people came and took my garbage cans. Like when I'm hearing these stories, I'm like, we need to get there way before these things occur. And so I would encourage people to talk with their family members. And if they don't have a family member, talk with someone they trust about what the next, you know, 15 to 20 years looks like. Because if you have income that could suddenly go away because of, you know, someone passing away, especially if you're married or whatever that looks like, you just don't want to be sideswiped.
Right.
And, you know, that product specifically, it's going to work for a lot of people. And I think it's probably going, because of how equity rich these homes are now, I think you're going to see more and more of that for those people that want to stay here. Otherwise, they might all just up and move and take off to Arizona or Texas.
Well, you know, hey, the legislative session has started, so.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know it's the short one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which doesn't matter anymore.
Nope.
No. No, it doesn't. All kinds of damage can be done in a short session. Well, this is good. And we've got a trend going with older, the silver tsunami. So let's go ahead. We're going to take our last break and then look at kind of how this all might be quietly kind of changing how things are happening out there.
Got some
and
good
again,
news.
We're talking. Yeah. We're talking with Amy McLeod and Elizabeth Smith. It is Real Estate Insights on Newsmakers at Noon, 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill and Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty, we need to put a pin in this episode. There's just so much good information today. Every time you guys are on, we learn a lot. But I don't know, this one seems to be, I'm like, oh, I need to write that down. Thank goodness we record these shows, right?
Right. Well, you're going to need to write this down.
Okay.
So, you know, it's been all this bad news about the housing crisis, They're back there in D.C. spending money on, you know, fixing the housing crisis. But... And it sounds like it's permanent, like we'll never have enough homes again. But I caught myself the other day talking about a talk I used to give at Rotary. And I used to talk about the rat in the python, which was the baby boomers cycling through the python as if it was a rat. And then, you know, in between the baby boomers was Gen X, which is the dip. And then there was the second rat in the python, which was the millennials. And so I used to talk about how things happened in real estate that were very much affected by demographics, not just interest rates.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's because real estate, it shows how real estate moves in cycles. And one of the biggest forces likely to reshape our housing crisis over the buying and selling and reshaping of the housing market is the silver tsunami. And it is underway. So according to the National Association of Realtors, the median age, there's half as many more and half as many younger, who are actively buying and selling and reshaping the housing market, is at the highest record ever. The average age of repeat buyers right now is 62 years old. Nearly half, 49% of all buyers in 2025 were over 60.
Wow.
So these are experienced buyers, and over 90% of them have owned homes before. They're making thoughtful, deliberate decisions, not rushed ones. That's why they probably should still be working with thoughtful, deliberate realtors.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, many buyers in this age group are right-sizing. So they're moving from that larger family home into the smaller, more manageable one. In 2025, sellers over 60 downsized by 100 square feet on average, choosing single-level homes, planned communities, or properties designed for comfort and accessibility. That's why it's been such a crisis for the millennials and first-time homebuyers. They're in competition with the silver tsunami who has cash.
Yeah.
Or big cash.
Uh-huh.
So, but here's the part that doesn't get talked about nearly enough. And I found myself saying this to someone the other day, that over the coming years, I think I said specifically 7 to 10 years, a potentially larger shift is coming. I always look at myself where I am. I'm right in the middle. And as more seniors move from independent living into assisted living, continuing care communities, multi-generational living with family, many are leaving behind not just their original family homes, but even the homes they downsized into. So when that happens, these homes don't get replaced by another purchase. They simply come back onto the market. And there are 72 million of us, and we're right in the middle of it. And in about 10 years, it's going to be a serious, 7 to 10 years, a serious change in the housing shortage. So instead of one home selling and another being purchased, and now we need to build one to accommodate that newly formed newlywed couple, we may start to see a net new inventory, homes that reenter the market without a corresponding buyer on the other side. Up until that point, well, right now in real estate, what we know is for every seller, 65% of them are a buyer.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to change.
Uh-huh.
And so this shift won't happen all at once. Over time, it could significantly increase housing supplies, especially in suburban neighborhoods, single-level homes, and well-located properties that families are actively looking for. So, in other words, the silver tsunami isn't just shaping today's market, it's setting up tomorrow's. And another important trend tied to this, listen to me, all you remodelers, is the multi-generational living. More families are choosing to live together or near one another, adult children moving parents closer, parents choosing homes that allow for shared living while maintaining independence. So it often means selling a standalone home and transitioning into a shared property, an accessory dwelling situation, or a community that provides increasing levels of care over time. I would advise any family that's thinking of bringing in grandma into their mm-hmm. home and mm-hmm. or into a home and using grandma's funds to purchase that home, you need to get legal advice before you do that.
Okay.
There's all kinds of ramifications around that. Not that really? It can't be done. You need to plan for
it. But it's complicated. You need a professional.
Well, especially if you have siblings who aren't living in the home and they're just with their inheritance. This is 85% of the wealth in America will shift. Let's plan for continued good family relationships after grandma's gone. Mm-hmm. So none of this is about urgency or pressure. Again, in fact, most of these successful transitions we see are the ones that happen before a major life event. So plan ahead, understand your housing options, how that might change over the next 5 or 10 years. Imagine, you know, you're doing fine now at 69. What do you think it's going to be like at 79? So think ahead for that so you're not trying to pack boxes then. And at the heart of the conversation is planning ahead. So understanding how your home now fits into the next chapter of life and how timing, options, and flexibility matter just as much as price. So
interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah. So again, another one of those, don't keep pushing it out, literally, you know, the old kicking the can down the road.
And for our millennials, stop being so despondent. Those great big houses are, you know, like we were the generation that did not want to get old. So frankly, our biggest issue is we keep thinking we're not old, that we're, you know, and I see people, well, I can still do the stairs. Well, do you want to keep doing those stairs at 70, 75? Yeah, you can do them. And tomorrow you might break a hip and now you can't. And there's your bathtub upstairs. So I want to give people, especially our younger people, don't let people tell you you'll never be able to buy a home. That is not true. It absolutely is not true.
It's such a demoralizing message.
Oh,
it's
it
like
is.
Saying your vote doesn't count. It's the same mindset that's like, everything's just miserable. And again, even with Elizabeth, with reverse mortgages, I mean, we got 1 minute left, so obviously we're not going to get too deep in it. But it's kind of that same thing, poo-pooing people away, shoo-shooing. It's like, this really, to me, says, do your own research. Find somebody you can trust. Ask questions.
Find an advisor, not just a mortgage salesperson, not just a real estate salesperson, somebody who's going to unlock doors and, oh, do you like this house? Find someone who can give you some life advice, that they're looking ahead with you 5-10 years. And that's good for our silver tsunami, but that's good for our millennials, for our Gen Xers. They're facing some life changes.
Yeah.
And for our Gen Zers, you must have advisors, not just salespeople.
And it's not simple, but it's very good information, and it pays to be informed, just like anything else. Well, Amy McLeod, again, Elizabeth Smith, always a pleasure to have you both on. So much
Thank
good
you.
Information.
Always fun.
Yeah, we will share the podcast out on this, everybody. All right, have a great day, everybody. Tomorrow we're going to talk with Salem Mayor Julie Hoy. Have a great day.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.